Then there was another time we have somebody treating our lawn. And there was this young boy outside. I had my office in my house. And I saw him out there. He was a young guy, maybe in his 20s. And he was putting fertilizer on my lawn. And there was a prompting. You know, it's just this something in here. You can't explain it. Something you know, you just can't explain it. And says you need to talk to him. And how many times do we make excuses? Well, Lord, I'm busy right now. And I was in the middle of something in my office. Says, I'm busy. Yeah, but you need to talk to him. And then we put like a fleece out to the Lord, which is ridiculous. I said, okay, well, if he comes to the door, I'll talk to him. I knew he was going to come to the door. Well, to make a long story short, he came to the door. And you know, you can always open up a conversation by asking a question. You want to learn something about evangelism? Get to know somebody and just ask them some questions. That's how you get to know them. Years ago, I used to work side by side with people, never talked to them all day. Till finally God convicted me and said, you know, why don't you talk to these people? Why don't you get to know them? And I've had many experiences where I was able to pray for people, pray for their healing, pray for salvation. Amen. But it always started with a question. Sometimes, how are you today? Well, do I quit then? Well, I continue. Maybe the next day I'll say something again, and so on. And then after a while, I mean, I try to open up the door to see where they are spiritually. And you can tell if they're open or not. If they're not open, then just back off and talk about other things. So now I've started like 3 stories, I think. So this young man comes to the door, and I said to him, forget what the first question was. Finally, I said, do you have a family? He said, no, I'm not married. And then I just asked him, I said, do you go to church? He said, I used to with my grandmother. See, now I knew he was open because he was answering my questions. And to make a long story short, he got born again right there. And that's happened more than once. So it's when we follow the promptings of Holy Spirit, you will see results. And you don't always get them saved right away, but at least you're planting seeds. Yes. I'm talking about this scripture says, be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what it says. So circumspectly, we're aware of things that happen. And then it goes on and says, I'm in Ephesians now, verse 18. And therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. I think I'm going to go this direction a little bit. Back in 22, and this is about the Word of God. The Word of God needs to be our foundation. When something happens, what's the first thoughts that come to my mind? Good or bad? What are the first thoughts? Mm-hmm. It's what it should be. What does the Word say about this? And if I have it in here, it'll just come out when I need it. But if I don't have it in here, it won't come out. So we make it a lifestyle. We make it a part of our lives. But back in 22, I think it was around January 1st. Now, I'm not one thinking that I have to have a message or a special word every year from God. I mean, that's fine if you want to do that. That's fine if God does that for you. But I'm not one that be seeking for that, so to speak. But if you do, that's fine. Okay? So I had a dream, and I'm not one to have dreams either. I guess what I'm trying to say is this, that sometimes we seek after all these things when the Spirit of God is talking right in here. It's good to have dreams and visions, and the Bible promises that, right? But why not spend my time seeking what he's saying in the Word of God? And then he will use those things to bring confirmation many times. And to bring like the gifts of the Spirit and so forth. They'll happen. But it's because it follows the Word. It follows the Word of God that's on the inside of me. Now God uses visions and dreams. I mean, we have so many Muslim testimonies of how God would use a dream or a vision to bring a Muslim to the Lord. In every one of those testimonies, they never said that Jesus told them how to be born again. They always had to go to somebody. Now, I could tell you story after story of how that has happened. So why did I bring all that in? Visions and dreams. Promptings of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Yes.
So we need to have the Word of God on the inside of us. We need to be wise because the Word of God gives us wisdom. So that when we are circumspect, when we're watching about what's happening around us, we have the Word of God in here to immediately address that situation. In prayer. Did you know our prayers should always be from a point of authority, a position of authority?
Yes.
Those are effective prayers when we pray from a position of authority. So I had this dream, and I woke up. I do not remember what the dream was. I woke up and was walking over the bathroom, and I was saying, even as. But it was more like, even as. And she said, I said it maybe 3 times or something like that. Even as? What do you mean, even as? And I felt it was something from God, because you can tell if it's from God or if it isn't. You can tell if it's from God or if it's from eating too much pizza or whatever. Right? Because there's more emphasis, there's more intensity or whatever when it's from God. So I said, okay, Lord. I said, I'm not going to try to interpret this. If you want to tell me something, you have to tell me. See, this is the kind of relationship we can have with God. And you're resting in knowing that God is going to reveal things to you that He wants to reveal to you. Somebody needed that this morning. But you rest. You're convinced that He's speaking to you and that He'll show you the way. And He will. It might be next week, might be tomorrow, it might be. But in the meantime, you're resting, knowing that God will give you the answer that you need. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm not going to try to interpret this thing. Because if I try to interpret it in my mind, then that's where we get in trouble. Oh, I had this dream, I had this vision, then we try to interpret it, and we get it all messed up. So about a week later, I was doing something at work. Like I said, I have a business. I have a drywall business. I still have it today, where I have subcontractors working for me and so on. And I was at work, and all of a sudden, out of my spirit comes, what scripture you think? What is it, 3 John 2? I wish. What scripture is it? Is it 3 John 2? Is that what it is, Randy? Even, I wish, above all things. Even as, King James says, even as.
That's the word.
And I was like, oh. And I had been meditating on the fact that it felt like the enemy was getting some of his targets, his darts through. Because I was dealing with little nagging stuff. And the question I had to the Lord is, you said in Ephesians that they won't get through. You said that nothing will touch me in Ephesians chapter 6. Am I right? And then He gave me that word, those words. And then He gave me that scripture. It says, I wish above all things that thou would prosper. Come on. And be in health, even as what? Your soul prospers. And then the next thing I felt in my spirit was, you got to go deeper with God. After all those years of walking with Him, you got to go deeper with God. So I said, Lord, I mean, I'm not, a lot of this is sensing, you know what I mean? I'm not like, God's not speaking to me like I'm speaking to you, but He speaks to us on the inside. And we know it when He does. So I said, Lord, I don't know how to do that. See, right away, we want to make formulas out of it. Right away, we say, okay, if I read the Bible now For me to go deeper, I'm reading the Bible a half hour every day, so maybe I should read it an hour every day. Maybe then I'll go deeper with God. Or I'm praying 15 minutes a day, maybe I should pray 30 minutes a day, and that'll cause me to go deeper with God. Well, those disciplines may help, but did you know it doesn't matter what I do, all these wonderful spiritual things, which are necessary. Don't leave here and say I didn't say they're not necessary. They are. They're necessary. But if I put my faith in the doing of it, rather than putting my faith in the fact that God will change me through it, by those things, it's a completely different thing. One is called works, and the other one is called faith. And I said, Lord, I don't know. I don't know how to go deeper. I'll do the things that are necessary, that are disciplines in my life, reading the word. But I can't put my faith in those things. Because all it is then is a formula. There's no rest in it. So I miss one morning. I'm in a hurry one morning. I only read 15 minutes. And I'm condemned all day long. Is that God? Or something happens. Oh, that happened because I didn't pray long enough this morning. Give me a break. That's not what our relationship with God is all about. It's a personal relationship with Him, and we can be in a place of rest. Again, I'm not saying you can't do them. I mean, you shouldn't do them. That's not what I'm saying. But we're not condemned because I don't read the Word of God 5 minutes like I did the day before. There is no condemnation in those things. Now, if the Spirit of God is telling me to do that, and I have a strong conviction about it, then I'd better do it. Or He'll convict me. You understand what I'm talking about? So I said, Lord, how can I do this? I said, you're the one that changes me on the inside. I can't change myself. I can't. I've tried and tried, but I can't. Of course I do the things that bring change. But it's the Holy Ghost that does the work. It's always Holy Spirit that brings the change and does the work. So my confidence is in Him. My confidence is not in the things that I do. My confidence is in God, His Holy Spirit, working on the inside of me. Does that make sense? Oh, there's so much freedom in that. So much freedom. Doesn't put away the disciplines whatsoever, but there's freedom. And so for the next year, I was on that journey, doing everything else I was doing. But you know, after a while, I just sensed the difference. I can't even explain what happened. I just sensed the difference. I sensed the depth that wasn't there before in my relationship with Him. I would, and sometimes when I go check job stuff, I might have to drive a whole hour. I would find myself turning the radio off. Turning off the noise. And in that, I'd find God witnessing things to me, showing me things. Holy Spirit on the inside. And I'd find myself praying. Sometimes interceding. We have a daughter that has gone through a lot of challenges spiritually. And she was real heavy on our hearts for a while. She recently experienced a divorce and so forth. Excuse me. And I remember one day, all of a sudden this intercession came up for her. If I wouldn't have been sensitive to the Holy Spirit, that wouldn't have happened. If I wouldn't have turned off, and again, I'm not telling you to turn off the radio when you're driving. I'm not telling you that. All right? Because then if you do it because I do, then it's a bondage to you. Then it becomes works rather than Holy Spirit leading you and taking you deeper on your own. I can't explain how to get there. I know what it is when it is. And I know the depth that's there that wasn't there before. but I can't explain it. You have to experience it yourself. Put yourself in the position and cry out to God and say, Lord, take me deeper. And let him do it in your life. So I prayed. I was praying for her for I don't know how many miles I was driving. I think I had an hour or so. And it was intense. And I was driving, which I don't know if that's safe or not, but it got pretty intense. But it's safe. And all of a sudden, the whole thing lifted. Had a victory. Had a victory. I haven't felt the same burden since. Because I know God's working in her life. And it's amazing how he's bringing her back. So following those promptings, going deeper with God. Just sharing part of my journey in the last few years. The journey has to be up to date. Right? We talk a lot about revival. We say revival's coming. When I went to Rhema, when we went to Rhema in 78, 79, 77, they were talking about the revival coming. They're still saying this. Some of them are still saying the same thing today, that the revival's coming. I say we're in it. A different perspective. Where's my faith? I mean, there's wonderful things happening among the young people today. I mean, if you haven't been around young people and some of the stuff that's happening with young people, put yourself in a position where you're in some crowds where there's young people, you'll be encouraged. Because we had a burden for the young people in the next generation. But it's amazing some of the stuff that's happening. Awesome. So allow God to take you deeper. Amen? So then the next year would have been in 23. I felt he gave me three things that year, beginning of that year, and had to do with going deeper as well. And he said three things. Again, he said he witnessed to me three things. He said, follow truth. And I was like, well, yeah. I mean, we have the word of God. We follow truth. Right? I mean, God now understands how you respond. He said, no. He said, we have truth in the word of God, yes. But he said, make sure you're following truth and not all the conspiracies that are going around. Uh-oh. In other words, make sure that the things we believe, the things we hear, the things we repeat, make sure they're truth. In Proverbs, it says, it's foolish to open my mouth if I don't have the facts. That's what it says in Proverbs. Forget which translation it is. So for me to open my mouth to try to share something that's happening and I don't have the facts, that's foolish. And that's what he meant. He said, follow truth. Don't be speaking things that you don't know the facts. And along with that, the word of God, of course, is our truth, our base, our foundation. And the second thing he says, follow Holy Spirit, the promptings of Holy Spirit. And that's what put me on the journey about promptings of Holy Spirit. Now, we've followed the promptings of the Holy Spirit for years and years. But we need to also be intentional, knowing that when he prompts us, that we will obey them. So he said to me, the second thing, don't just hear the promptings, follow them, meaning respond to them and do what he promised you to do. And that's what I said before. We've seen miracles because we follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing what he'll lead you to do sometimes. Gets a little scary sometimes. But we lay down the flesh and we do those things. And if you begin to practice it and walk in it, you have things starting to happen. After a while, you're excited. Oh, yeah, I want another prompting, Lord. Or speak to me, show me things. And he does. And he does. We have so many testimonies of how Holy Spirit would show us things when we were raising our kids. Show us things about them. My one daughter said sometimes, I can't go anywhere or be bad in any way because you always know it. Well, Holy Spirit. And then the third thing was, zip your lip. That's basically how I got it. That was basically my download. Shut your mouth. Shut up or zip your lip. And you know, I began to take inventory. I began to take inventory of what I was saying. And I found there was things I was saying that was different than what I said I believed. Gets a little quiet. And I think it's good for us to take inventory from time to time. What's coming out of my mouth? And if I don't like what's coming out, then let's look on the inside and change what's in there. Because what's in out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's inside there is going to come out eventually, especially when you're under pressure. So if I have things coming out that I don't like, I need to shut up because those words have power. And if they're good words, then yes, speak it. So there's good things coming out. So basically he was saying, take inventory of the words that you're speaking.
Yes.
And if there's negative things that are not in agreement to the word of God or in agreement to what you feel your faith is, then don't say them. And let me change you on the inside. Give it to me. Repent of those things. Get into the word of God. So that the source, the abundance of my heart changes. Because out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth will speak. That will work in anything that you experience in life. We as people can be so negative. Here in York, maybe not, but in Lancaster, yes. No, it's culture, isn't it? It's human thinking. It's human beings. I mean, even as believers, we can be so negative about things. What's my first response? Oh, I got a pain. What's the first response? I've been dealing with like a cough or something. And sometimes when you don't feel so good, you think, man, is this, I'm never going to get out of this. That's the negative. But I need to approach it from a point of victory.
Yes.
No, the Bible says, by his stripes I am healed.
Yes.
And people say this. As they get older, they say, oh, yeah, you know, we just got these aches and pains. Well, maybe you have a few more aches and pains. But why do we have to accept them? What is our mindset? Have you ever heard Rick Renner? Just recently, he did a series on longevity. Did you hear it? He says we have it in our heads by 60, 65, we're supposed to slow down. That's what our culture says, right? Well, you're getting a little older. You're going to retire. A lot of people retire and they die because they no longer have vision. I'm not saying you shouldn't retire. That's not what I said. But make sure if you retire, do something that gives you vision in your life. So he says, you should believe for, what did he say, at least 100. Yeah, but the Bible says 60 plus 10, three score and 10, which is three score would be 60 and 10. And it does say that. But he said if you study that, it's talking to unbelievers. It's talking to wicked people. Maybe you know all these things. No, we don't have to slow down. You might do things a little different. I used to say, well, I'm going to live till about maybe end of 80 or something. Kathy always said, no, I'm going to live longer than that. And then I've upped it. I'm believing for more than that. Again, the Bible says we can live till we're satisfied.
That's right.
Amen? I know Bill was only 68. I know that. I know there's people that die at a young age. I've had friends that die. And I felt robbed. Maybe Bill was satisfied at that point. I don't know. That's between him and God. Amen? And we don't try to figure it out. But we, no matter what happens to our pastor or whoever, no matter what happens to me, the promises of God are still the same. So you continue. I encourage you to continue to flow, to believe the promises of God. No matter what happens around you. Amen. My time's up. I need to stop. Thank you, Jesus. So Ephesians there, it says, we didn't get through the whole thing, but it says that we are to be circumspect, then it says we are to understand what the will of the Lord is, and we know that comes through the Word of God. Then it says we're supposed to be filled with the Spirit. And after you have those two, which are foundational things, then it says, sing to one another psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, making melody in your heart, being thankful unto the Lord for all things, or something like that, it says. What's the next verse says? We usually stop there. The next verse says, submitting yourselves one to another. Then what does the next verse says? Say, wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. What I'm trying to say is this. That's a whole other message about submission. Just remember this. Submission means you support one another. That's what it means. Doesn't mean you control one another. But if you look at the foundational things, which is the Word of God and the Spirit of God, these other things that follow are a result of those other two things in your life. It's not like, oh, I got to give you a psalm. No, it will be a natural thing that is flowing out from you, or a spiritual thing that is flowing out from you, because you're obeying the first part, or the first part is a part of your life. Amen. Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. Worship you, Lord. Worship you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord. I thank you for each person in this room. And I believe that each one of us will find a place of going deeper with God and finding a place of rest, even more than we're resting right now, in the name of Jesus. I believe power will come from that place of rest.
Victory,
Father. As they go out and minister to other people, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you said that the signs, miracles, and wonders, they follow us. They follow your word, and as we share your word, they follow us, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your peace, answers where answers are needed, Holy Ghost ministering to each one, in Jesus' name. Amen.